There is such a great need for wisdom. Hey, the world needs the wisdom of God to know how to get saved, right? But Christians need the wisdom of God. It seems like Christians are wandering around trying to figure out how to be a Christian by going to the world and getting all their advice from their friends. Hey, there's a great need for wisdom for the Christian. And Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the highest thing. It's the best thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. You know, that's not just a suggestion. That's a command from God. That is a command. Therefore, get wisdom. God is trying to tell us that we need wisdom. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16, it says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? You know, someone said that if you took all the gold that was mined in the world, it would be a huge chunk about the size of a three-story house or a two-story home, I guess. This big chunk of gold. But you know what? Big deal. Do you know how many lives and how much greed and people have tried to do so many different things just to get a hold of that gold? And the Bible says, how much better is it to get wisdom than that big chunk of gold that someday is going to rot and it's going to be gone? And to get understanding rather than be chosen than silver. If you want something that's valuable, choose wisdom. And guess what? It's free. It's right here in this book. You can have the very wisdom of God by just getting into this book. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. We'll park there for a little bit, and I just want to say some things. 1 Kings chapter 3. There needs to be a personal desire for wisdom. You don't just get it. You have to want it. You have to obey God and say, I want the wisdom of God. He says, get wisdom. So there needs to be a personal desire. And the word wisdom is in the Bible over 200 times. Approximately about 236 times. And over 50 times just in the book of Proverbs. So a quarter of all the times the word wisdom is used in the Bible, it's used in the book of Proverbs. Now that's no coincidence, right? Who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon, right? Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. So what is wisdom? It is the application or the applying of biblical knowledge, what you read and study, to your life. It is not enough to know it up here. You must apply it to your life by using it in your daily walk with God. Then you become a wise person. It's the ability to make right choices and have understanding of how to walk with God. That's wisdom. Now we're going to look about King Solomon here. And in 1 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 5, it says this. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. He's just a young man. He's maybe 18, 20 years old. And he's asking God for wisdom. Why? He knew he needed it. And whether you know it or not, you need the wisdom of God. You are just not going to make it on what you know and what you learn in school. You need to get into this book and learn what God has to say, how to live this life, this Christian life. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't just memorize that. and forget what it's talking about. We need to have a heart that fears God, that is really respectful and reverent about who God really is in your life as a saved young person. You need to have a right fear of God in order to attain wisdom. Without a right fear of God, you will not take this book seriously. You will not take God seriously. You will be a fool, and what fools do is they scorn and they mock and they brush off wisdom. Now look, you may be, we've only gone through what, 2 days, but you may have already scorned or mocked or brushed off some counselor that told you to do something, or you rolled your eyes. You're going against God when you do that. You need to obey those that are put in charge of you. That's the wisdom of God. Don't be a fool. You need a tender heart. You need to be humbled. You need to be broken so that you have the right fear of God and that you will, and that you'll have a serious respect for who God is. Now, a tender heart is needed and a reverent fear of God. A serious respect for who He is. Let me just say this. You need God. You don't need cool friends. You need God. You don't need an iPod. You need God. You don't need an iPhone. You need God. You don't even need the next beat of your heart. You need God. The air that's entering into your lungs right now, you don't need as much as you need God. And in order to get wisdom, you're going to have to first need God that bad. You're going to want Him so much, and you're going to fear Him and desire Him more than anything else. You need God. Many of you are interested in what's cool, what's popular, and it's all worldly wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. You know, you try to outsmart God, and I guarantee you, God's going to take you in your own thinking. In your own worldly thinking, He's going to bring you down, and He's going to humble you. Don't think for one second that you can trust in your ability without having the wisdom of God. Your own strength will not get you through. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11. Let's not go to the rest of the week just kind of bouncing around here on the edge of who God is and the wisdom that He can give us. Let's get serious tonight that I need God and I need the wisdom of God. And I'm not going to play games the rest of the week, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say I went to camp 1 week and 2 weeks later the sparkle goes out. Why don't you make a decision tonight that I need God and I need the wisdom of God. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Your greatest need is wisdom, and it comes from above. Solomon shows us just how important God's help is, and he shows us how to get wisdom. Just remember, wisdom comes from God. You need God more than anything else. Now, Solomon's family. Turn back to 1 Kings. Turn back to 1 Kings. See if we can draw some things out of here. Make sure you take your sermon notes now. And the underlined words up here are the ones that you're going to find in your book. In 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 1 it says, Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. In verse 5, Then Adonijah the son of Haggith exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Verse 15, And Bathsheba went in unto the king, into the chamber, and the king was very old. And Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, What wouldest thou? And she said unto him, My lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now behold, Adonijah reigneth, and now my lord the king, thou knowest it not. Go over to verse 28. Then King David answered and said, Call me Bathsheba. This is after he had talked to Nathan. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my Lord King David live forever. If you didn't know it, if you didn't see it, the word king is in there a whole lot of times. We're talking about King David, the father of Solomon, who is about to become king. But let me just say this. Solomon was raised in a king's home. I mean, he was raised in Brother Carey, he brought that up and talked a little bit about that. But he was raised in a king's home. But let me just say this. You think, well, he was raised and King David told him all these things and he was able to see what it means to be a king and how to rule as a king. If you're saved here today, you're being raised in a king's home. Because the king lives inside of you. And if you have saved parents, the king lives inside of them. You're being raised in a king's home. But let me tell you this. It didn't guarantee him to be a good kid. It didn't guarantee him that he'd come out right on the other side. And don't think for a moment, just because you have Christian parents, that you're going to come out right. You know what this whole thing is about? Choices. You've got to make your own choices. Being raised in a Christian home isn't going to make you closer to God. It can certainly help, and mom and dad are urging you on and trying to get you on the right path, but you still have to make the right choice. And you can have the worst of circumstances and find God and say, get a heart for God, and you can wind up good on the other side. So don't think, something's got to change in my home. I can't have a good walk with God because of my home and my environment. Fully on that. Adam was in a garden that was perfect. He was away from the presence of sin completely. He was in innocence, a perfect world. And what did he do? He plunged the world into sin because he rebelled against God. He made a choice to listen to his wife and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he walked into sin with his eyes wide open. So don't think that your home life is holding you back from serving God. If you're saved here today, you're being raised in a king's home also. Let me just say, you can live for God. You can live for God and make a difference in this world around you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. You can live for God. Please don't make excuses. Please don't blame somebody else. Eve did. Adam did. They don't want to blame somebody else for the fixes we find ourselves in. You made that choice. You can choose the right or you can choose the wrong. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 35, for whoso findeth me, God, wisdom, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. You do not have to get caught up in the wickedness of the world. It tells us right there that you can find wisdom and you will find life and you shall obtain favor from God and blessing from the Lord. You don't have to go down that road. You can choose the right path and you can choose the wise way, God's way. You, just like Adam, have a free will. So I want you to know that tonight you can make a decision right here in your seat. You can do it right now. That I'm going to choose God. I want Him to be the Lord of my life, and I want to pursue after His wisdom so I can have a good life and obtain favor of God. You know, there's been a lot of Bible examples of tough starts and great finishes. Why? Because they followed God. You know, Ruth was a poor Moabite foreigner, and she was childless, a widow, but she married Boaz. And she became the great-grandmother of Israel's great king, David. So that means she was the great-great-grandmother of Solomon. She had a rough start, but she had a good finish. Can I just tell you about another woman? My wife. Now, I asked her before I started talking about this. She had a rough start. She came out of a foster home, one of 11 children, and wound up on the wrong side of the tracks, grew up in some rough went through some rough times. But you know, at 36 years old, I guess it was, she got saved. And you know what she's going to have? A great finish. She's going to have a great finish. It doesn't matter how you start, it's how you finish. And you can finish this thing right. You know, when I think about all the times young people or anybody make excuses for their behavior. Man, just look in the mirror. Some of you aren't old enough to shave yet. But when I look in the mirror and I'm shaving, I'm saying, you're the problem. You're the problem. Stop pointing the finger at somebody else because there's three more pointing right back at you. Take responsibility. Hey, Paul had a rough time of it. I mean, he just getting saved. You know, Jesus finally had to come to him on the Damascus Road and said, hey, I'm here. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks, Paul. Look what you're doing to my people. You're doing it to me. So Paul struggled with that salvation, but he finally got saved. Then he found it hard to be accepted by other believers in the church. They said, whoa, stay away from him. He kills Christians. But he finally got accepted. And, you know, he had a hard life as a church starter. We don't have anything like Paul had it. He had a hard life as a church starter, but he graduated to a great reward. And do I have to tell you the story about Jesus? Come on, he started in a manger in swaddling clothes. And look where he is. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't worry about where you are right now, just worry about where you're going. Why don't you make a choice tonight? Somebody's here that's not saved. You ought to make the most wisest choice you've ever made in your life. I want to know this Jesus Christ is my Savior. I want to know about heaven. I want to know how I can avoid going to a fiery hell. Tonight, I want to know how to be saved. That would be the wisest decision you ever made in your life. But you know what? You see in verse 32? Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. There must be a surrender of the will and a complete submission to God. Give up your fight with God this week, will you? Will you just stop fighting against the Lord and your parents and even some of your friends that are godly friends trying to help you? Why not listen and obey God and be blessed of God? That's what the Bible's crying out to is, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Why don't you just make a decision and throw up your hands and surrender and give up and say, I want the Lord. I want to know God. I want Him to have my whole life and be in complete submission to His will. Now, some facts about Solomon. In 1 Corinthians 3:5, it says he was the last born child of all of David's sons. The name of Solomon means peaceful one. The peaceful one. Peace during his reign because of David. His father fought all the armies and Solomon had peace during his whole reign. And that was even his name, the peaceful one. And I think that's another reason he got the chance to build the temple, because there was peace all around and great riches. But you know, Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now look, what name would best suit you? Lazy or diligent? Somebody's honest up here. Liar or honest? Rebel or faithful? What would best suit you? A good name is rather to be chosen. A lover of self or a lover of God? You know, there's no in between. Christianity, you cannot walk the fence in Christianity. You cannot serve two masters. You can't say I'm a Christian and walk around with unsaved friends and do the things they do and partake of their deeds, because that means you're despising the Lord and holding on to them. You're not loving the Lord, you're loving them. You can't serve two masters as a Christian. You know, Proverbs 10:7 says, the name of the wicked shall rot. What kind of name do you have tonight? Solomon's was the peaceful one. He was loved by God at birth. In 2 Samuel 12:24, she bare a son and called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. Well, that's true, but God loves you too. God loved you at your birth too. And God loves you right now, here tonight. Even if you don't love Him, He still loves you. And your character, even as a Christian, if you're not living for God, does not change God's character. He still loves you. Your sin doesn't change God's character. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." When you were enjoying your sin, Jesus went to the cross, knowing full well the things that we would do. He still loves us. His parents were David and Bathsheba. His home had problems too. You know, Solomon grew up in a home with many siblings, and like we read in 1 Kings 1:5, he had an older brother that tried to take the throne from him. That's some serious sibling rivalry. Because any king that took the throne wanted to do away with any rivals to his throne. And he wasn't a rebel. 2 Samuel 2:19 says he rose up to meet his mother. And he bowed himself under her and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. He was respectful to his mother. And he was the king. And he bowed and brought her up and had her sit at his right hand. I just ask easy questions, but they may be hard. How do you treat your mother? How do you treat your father? With disrespect? Or do you bow and give obeisance even to your mother and your father and have respect for them? And finally, Solomon was the third and the last king of the united kingdom of Israel. After that, it went all downhill. Now we go on. Solomon was a godly young man. Proverbs 3:7, we know, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil." Make sure you don't lift yourself up against God. Make sure you don't puff yourself up with pride against God. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Just fear the Lord and depart from evil." Romans 1:22 says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." To be godly, you must have a right view of God. The best thing you can do right now is to humble yourself before God Almighty. Will you recognize who you're messing around with? He can take your life in an instant. The reason your heart's beating is in your chest is because God said, "Keep on beating." And many of us are still shaking our fist in God's face and He says, "I love you. I'm waiting for you. I'm patient. I'm long-suffering." Some of us just need a good, healthy dose of fear. But Solomon was a godly young man. And he had his own walk with God, and he learned it from his father. You don't have to turn there. We've already read these verses. But his father told him how to be a godly young man and how to be a blessed man. He said, "Show thyself a man." You know, I mean, grow up and be a man and walk with God. Obey God. Walk in His statutes. That's godly. Not going against your parents or going with ungodly friends. That doesn't make you a man. Walking with God makes you a man. You're not going to outsmart Him, by the way. God's a little bit smarter than we are. And we need to seek God with all of our heart. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Or we're in Proverbs chapter 8. All right. Look at verse 17. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." You see there, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. When we seek God with all of our heart, He will be found. I wonder how much of your heart God has tonight. I wonder how much you really love Him and how much you've been seeking His wisdom. You know, it means that when it says, "Seek me early," it means don't wait. Do it now. Right now. Seek me early. Don't wait. You know, Proverbs 23:26 says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Do you know who said that? Proverbs 23:26? Solomon. Who was he talking to? Rehoboam. "My son, give me thine heart." His father David said, "Walk in the ways of the Lord, and give me your heart, Solomon." And Solomon saying to Rehoboam, "Give me thy heart, son." Would you give God your heart? Don't fight with the Lord. Just give Him your heart. Let Him have your life. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Seek God with all your heart. And he loved the Lord. In 1 Kings 3:3, how do you prove our love to God? Do you know how to prove your love to God? Anyone know John 14:15? It's only about seven words. 14:15? Yeah, you thought you did. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, we can't just talk and say, I love you, Lord, without obeying Him. I mean, how would you like somebody to tell you how much they love? Hey, if I told my wife I loved her and never showed her, she's going to think those words are ringing awful hollow. They're shallow. They don't mean anything. It's all talk, young person. It's all talk. You say you love the Lord, you want to be a good Christian, but you don't obey Him. He loved the Lord. And at a young age, Solomon realized that having a perfect heart, a right heart towards the Lord, was important. 2 Chronicles 1:11, and God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart. God knows what's in your heart tonight. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows the decision you're going to make at the end of the message here. But that's what Solomon was. What about you? Where do you stand in your walk with God? What are you? Would someone say, you're a godly young person? What or who do you love? Do you love God or do you love the world? You can't love both. Like I told you, God always draws a line. Moses drew a line in the sand and said, who's on the Lord's side? It's one or the other. It's black or white. It's up or down. There's no in between with God. You know, the world mocks goodness. The world mocks purity and conscience and a clean conscience. They laugh at the beauty of purity and a clean heart. But God doesn't. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. God doesn't mock it. God puts a great price on it. 1 Peter chapter 3. Girls, you need to listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2. This is instructions to wives. And in verse 2, 1 Peter 3:2 says, while they behold your chaste conversation, that's purity of your life, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and a wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. God's not as much interested in the outward as He is the inward. Verse 4 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That's what's important to God. That's what's valuable to God. What's on the inside? How much are you adorning the inside? That inner man. How beautiful is that, ladies? Girls, how much time do you spend on the inside instead of in the mirror? It's not wrong to be feminine and modest and a godly young girl, but worry about this inside. That's the most precious to God. And by the way, that's the most beautiful too. Certainly in God's eyes, and in any godly man wants a wife that's godly. She loves the Lord. But not in the world today. The world said good is evil, evil is good. But I'll tell you, it's better to be a friend of God than this wicked world. In fact, if you're a friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. The world exalts sex and drugs and rebellion, and they say it's cool. Well, look, I'm not gonna glorify Satan, but I got a background, and it ain't cool. None of it was cool. I'm glad someone knocked at my door and didn't stop knocking until I finally got saved, and they just kept telling me about Jesus Christ because I was on the way out. It wasn't pretty. None of it was cool. None of it. The music and all the rest of the stuff the rebellion against God and the drugs, none of it was cool. But it seems that young people today think that's cool. And they want to get involved in that, or at least get as close as they can to it. No. Why would you desire the lifestyle of these empty, depressed thugs? That's all they are. The music that's coming through those little buds in your ear sometimes is wicked. It's wicked, and half the time it's sodomites that are putting that stuff out that you're listening to. And you wonder why you don't want to go to church, and you don't want to do anything in the youth group, and you don't want to be with godly friends. Of course not. Darkness can't comprehend the light. Because you're listening to a bunch of junk. That music is wicked. Lift the pit of hell and let it out, because that's where it comes from. I know. And some of us have been involved in it and heard it. And it didn't do one good thing for us. Nothing but this music and this lifestyle and this Hollywood lifestyle is killers and druggies, and they die deaths from STDs, and they get shot down, all these rappers. Nothing but a bunch of sodomites and haters of God. And we got them plugged into our ears. Are you serious? How can you walk with God and listen to that music and that lifestyle that's out there? You can't do it. I was going to try to compile a list of rappers that are now dead. But the list is so long, I literally would need a toilet paper roll and roll it out here. Because it's literally in the hundreds. They don't even reach 30 years old. It's a shame. All those lives snuffed out. Tragic people, tragic lives, they died alone. I don't know if you know these names. Amy Winehouse, 28 years old, drugs and alcohol, dead. Whitney Houston was raised in a Baptist church and sung in the choir. You know where she died? In the bathtub, cocaine and alcohol. Gone. A life snuffed out that used to praise God with those vocal cords. Elvis Presley was mentioned. You know he died? He died from barbiturates, slumped over in his toilet. He needed speed to get up and do the show, and barbiturates to go to sleep. And Michael Jackson, at 50 years old, he died. The king of pop, had it all, died from propofol intoxication. Something that you take to put you under anesthesia to do, perform surgery. That's what had to put him to sleep. But he's the king of rock and roll. He's the king of pop. And that's the lifestyle that we're listening to through that music. Hey, no peace. There's no peace for the wicked. But there is peace for the Christian and the young person that wants to walk with God. You need to make a decision tonight. What matters most is not what your friends think. What does God think? You need God. Then you'll have wisdom. Choose God and His wisdom. Solomon's crowning, he was honored by God. You know, he was made a king while very young. He said, I am but a little child. I am but a little child. He was 18 years old, but humility. He had humility. And that's going to take you a long way with God. If you're humble, needy, dependent. I wonder how many teens in here would say what Solomon said. I'm but a little child. Do you look at yourself that way? I need God. Jesus said, except you become a little child. So you can't come unto me unless you become like a little child. What? Dependent, needing me, humbled. I wonder where you are tonight. Can you say what Solomon said? How low can you go? One act of humbling yourself, though, before God can change your life. You could become saved and a follower of Jesus Christ. Some need salvation. Some just need to say, that's it. I'm following Jesus Christ. This is the week at camp where I make a decision for the rest of my life. As best I can, I'm going to follow God. Are you able to be open with God and just depend upon Him? You know, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, it talks of what I'm talking about is those who honor God will be honored. I mean, after he asked for wisdom, let's turn there. He wound up with riches untold. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. I want to make sure I end on time here. 1 Kings chapter 3. But it's good to see that if you choose God, if you honor God, He'll honor you. 1 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 11, after Solomon asked for this, in verse 10, and it says, and the speech pleased the Lord, as Solomon had asked this thing, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked thy life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like you. And I have also given you given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that they shall not be of any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." So Solomon was honored by God because he honored God with what he asked for in his life. And you'll read about the same thing in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. God says he honors those who honor him. But he also had a soft heart. You need a soft heart. You just need to be tender and teachable, as the brother said. You need to be teachable. Not proud, not arrogant in your own abilities. You need God. He knew how little he knew about leading a nation. But this was God's will for Solomon. God may have something great for you to do. You need God to do that. You need God to accomplish that. Believe me, the men that come and stand behind here and preach really don't have the ability to do it without God. And there's no special ability we have. In fact, most of us couldn't stand in front of the class and recite anything. We were scared to death to get up there. Am I saying it right, brother? And now he sits you in front of 70 or 80 people or whatever your home church is. And every time you get up there, it's good to get a little nervous. I need God. I need God to do this. This is a sacred act I'm doing here. I need God. And so do you. He realized how much he needed God, and he ruled Israel for 40 years. And Solomon prayed to God for the wisdom and strength to lead God's people. And here it is. He had a desperate prayer. I'd ask you, how many prayers do you pray really seeking God's wisdom and his will for your life? Proverbs 8:17, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Solomon's prayer for wisdom. We read it in 1 Kings chapter 3, how he prayed, how to get wisdom. He asked for it. You want to know how to get wisdom? Ask for it. That's all you have to do is ask for it. I spent a lot of time in prayer asking for wisdom. What next, Lord? What do I do now, Lord? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? What do I do about this situation, Lord? Because frankly, I don't want to make a decision without him. I made enough decisions without him. I want him to make the decisions in my life. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this so great a people?" Hey, Solomon said, "Give thy servant." He had a right view. He asked humbly for something that only he can supply. Only God could supply. How do you see yourself? As a king or as a servant? Remember, this was the king. But he said, "I'm your servant, though, Lord. Doesn't matter how big you rise up in this world, you're still a servant of God." Solomon asked humbly, asked God for wisdom. He didn't demand it. You don't demand things from God. You don't demand things from your parents. You don't demand things from the counselors here at camp. You ask humbly. And you'll get a good answer. You'll get my attention, I know that. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." God's not going to hold back. As much wisdom as you need, God will give it to you. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning." God gives good gifts. And if you need wisdom, he'll give it to you, if you ask humbly. He also wanted an understanding heart. Wisdom is the best thing needed to serve God. Proverbs 4:7, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." I need to understand what to do. I need the wisdom of God. And simply ask for God's help. He asked for God's help. Solomon knew he needed God. Think, just when you think you got it all figured out, the rug's pulled out from under you. But God already knows about all those things, and he can direct your path and give you the wisdom you need just when you need it. Whether it's at school, with what friends you're hanging around with, maybe you're even serving in your church. But whatever you're doing, it's just too big for us. Life is too big for us to go alone without God. We need his help every single day. Solomon asked to judge God's people, and he asked to know right and wrong. He wanted God's way, not man's way. And frankly, you know, he wanted to be a good king. Do you want to be a good leader? Do you want to be a good husband? Do you want to be a good sister? brother, a wife, a father, a mother, a son, a daughter. Do you want to be the best that you can be? Ask God to help you. God answered his prayer. God was pleased, and God gave him what he asked for. And God gave him what he didn't ask for. You here tonight, you need to get started on the road to getting wisdom. Good success in God's eyes, he prospers us when we ask him for wisdom and want to obey him and walk in his ways. And then honor him. Go to James chapter 4. We're almost done here. James chapter 4. And in verse 6, James chapter 4 and in verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know, I just think that's the word that keeps popping up, huh? Humility. Some of us just need to humble ourselves. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, a little good dose of fear of God and some repentance would go a long way in service tonight. Somebody decide they're going to get right with God. Because if you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he shall lift you up. He can lift you up. He's done it for me, I know that. Some people think to be good means that you can't have fun. When I was going the wrong way, it was fun for about 10 minutes. It just turned south. For so many years, it was a crummy life. You don't want to go down that road. I've never had so much fun as being a Christian. And when I go to sleep at night, I just go to sleep. You know? I have a clear conscience, and I'm out. Goodbye. I'm not thinking about where my car was or what did I do last night. Everything's clear. I got a clear conscience. That's good. King Solomon's sins speak loudly to us in our materialistic culture. He didn't end very well. I'll let somebody else take care of that. But when we worship possessions over fame over God, we're headed for a fall. Christians marry an unbeliever. They can expect trouble. Solomon did it 1,000 times. God is our first love. We shouldn't let anything come before him. God says we all do wrong. The key is in learning from our sins, hearing rebuke, obeying our parents, getting right and staying right. Proverbs 24:16 says, just man falls 7 times, but he gets up again. You know what? I'm glad the just man gets up again, but we don't have to fall 7 times, you know. We don't have to keep falling down just so we can get up again. I think sometimes we think of that verse, hey, did I fall again? I just get up because I'm a just man. Why do I have to keep falling? Why don't I just stay on my own 2 feet and walk with God? Solomon was great because he was godly. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You say that verse doesn't mean anything to me. Well, I'll ask you, how about this? Are you content and satisfied with God's will for your life right now? Because I'll tell you, godliness with contentment is great gain. Are you satisfied with your walk with God right now and God's will for your life? Because most of the time, when I'm watching those cows out in the field, they're always trying to push the fence. They're always trying to reach under the fence to get the grass on the other side. And they're standing in grass up to their hind legs, but they're trying to get the grass on the other side of the fence as if it's greener. You know what happens? They push the fence down. They wind up in the middle of the road. Maybe get hit by a truck. Who knows? I'm just saying, are you satisfied with where you are right now? Are you in God's will? There's power. There's power in a godly life. God blesses and honors it. There's some here tonight that need to make a decision. For life, not just for camp. An eternal decision. A real heartfelt decision to follow Jesus Christ. And let me just tell you bluntly, why don't you stop being a hypocrite? A hypocrite is an actor. Before, hundreds of years ago, when a person acted, if there was 10 actors in the play, there might have only been 2 actual people doing the roles. That's why they used to have faces. They would put a face on, and they would act that part. And then they would grab another face, and they would act that part. A lot of us have a couple different faces we put on. We're hypocrites. We're just acting parts. How do I need to act on Sunday morning? How do I act at youth group? And how do I act around my friends at school? We're hypocrites. Stop being a hypocrite. Here's the invitation. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Can you imagine He would use preachers to get up here and stumble and bumble and actually some people get saved? It's amazing, isn't it? You need salvation. Ecclesiastes 7:20, one of your memory verses. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So I'm looking at a bunch of sinners. Some are saved, some aren't. There's some here tonight that aren't saved. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We need to be saved because we're all sinners. I was saved 24 years ago. When were you saved? I want you to think right now, when was I saved? If you at least know the month and the year you got saved. If you don't, I would seriously consider getting saved tonight. Or at least talking to somebody and trying to understand, wait a minute, I can't remember when I was saved. If I died right now, I don't know where my soul would go. I can tell you where it would go. If you don't know, it's going to hell. And it doesn't have to happen like that. You can be saved tonight. When were you saved? If you would. If you don't know, would you like to know? Would you like to know how to be saved? Let's all bow our heads.